take God's word and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. If you remember what we've learned in Ephesians so far, chapters 1 through 3, the theology that God is, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's chosen us. He's predestined us to adoption. In Him we have redemption. We're sealed in His blood. On and on it goes. And He says that once we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and now we've been made alive together with Christ. And now we're united as one body, as the church. That's one of the main themes, again, of Ephesians. As a church, we are one. And here he's continually giving us now commands, the practical part, the commands of God, that we are as one. This is how we are to stay as one. And this is how we are to be as one, a body. And so here we come again to Ephesians 4, and now verse 29. And before we read the word of the Lord, let's pray and ask His blessing upon the reading and preaching of it. Father, we thank You for Your word. It's perfect. Again, it's sufficient for us. It is perspicuous. It tells us clearly the gospel and gives us exactly what we need for any of us to be saved. And we pray that You would send Your Spirit to save Your people, to do that even this evening to those who don't know You. We pray for the church worldwide, that Your word, the gospel, would go forth and You would bring about faithful men to preach, and even all of us to go out from here and proclaim the gospel to those who are lost, the wicked. And we pray that You would now, as we hear Your word, as You speak to us, we would listen as if and because Jesus is speaking to us, and not from as a word from man, but as a word of Jesus. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 29. This is the word of our God. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Well, that's the word of our God. Clear command. It's a command based out of the third commandment. Shall not take the Lord's name in vain. And to love the Lord, to love our neighbor. And here this evening, we know we are great sinners. No other place do I know of personally that shows that we are most sinful as when we have to talk about the tongue. Because out of the heart, out of who we are, and even our sinful remains, comes our speech and our tongue. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out from our tongues come perversities and lies, our anger. Much of the rest of our sinful nature is shown by our tongue and how we speak. The tongue, the words we speak, affect people. Our words can bore people, you know, make people bored. They can make people happy, sad, upset, angered, fearful. We all sin with our tongues. And this evening we have two things we'll see this evening about this verse. First, edifying words are self-controlled and selfless. And then second, edifying words are always build up. Edifying words always build up. And so first, edifying words are self-controlled and selfless. I remember when I was in seminary, I took three classes from the counseling department, and it wasn't a good counseling department. They tried to mesh modern psychology with Christianity. Can't do it. But they tried to. And I took three classes just to see, you know, kind of what that Christian mindset is, and understand it so that I'll be able to speak about it and teach people about it. And what I learned is that it's that to be better people, to be a better Christian. It must, if we must change our physical actions tonight, we're talking about our tongue. If we're to change how we speak, our thoughts, then we need to learn how to control ourselves. But the amazing thing was that there was never any mention of the heart. There's never any mention of how to change. You just have to be self-controlled. That's it. There's no mention of, you know, the gospel being preached to the heart or taught to the heart to change a person. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's none of that. They kind of just went to the mouth speaks and tried to change it from there. That's modern psychology. If you want to know what that's about, if you want to change yourself, it's always about the outer man. You have to change the outer man. Or if you want to change the inner man, you just have to will yourself to change. The whole principle in Scripture of holiness, sanctification, is moving from the old man to the new is different than that, the world's thoughts. It centers around the heart. Luke 6 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. But they ignored that, the counseling people did. They ignored that. The issue of lying, the issue of anger, the stealing of the tongue, it's all based on the state of your heart. If there's people who, spouses who abuse their spouse, it's because of the state of their heart. It's not because, well, they just had a bad childhood. Well, that might be part of it, but it's still part of the state of the heart that needs to be changed. Our heart has to change. And Christians, beloved, it has changed. It's been changed by the Holy Spirit in regeneration that we could actually believe the gospel, believe in the Lord and hold on to Him. And now it needs to be molded in holiness. That's what we're doing here in Ephesians 4. Molding it into holiness, so hopefully, Lord willing. And so out of that truth of the heart, having been changed, we are therefore to put off all worthless, filthy talk. That's the meaning of the word described, unwholesome talk. It means worthless talk or rotten, evil, bad, filthy talk. That's how the world speaks. Those who are of the world have no self-control when they speak. They just speak whatever they want to speak. Whatever's in their heart. And whatever is in their heart is sin. So they speak sinful, rotten things. In fact, the unregenerate speak too much. We have that tendency even with our sin remaining. We want to speak more than we want to hear. What James says, do not be quick to hear, or do not be quick to speak, but slow. Do not be quick. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Sorry. Rather, the world and oftentimes us, we're quick to speak. Something pops in our mind. We want to speak it. We want to interrupt people and tell them about what we're thinking. Because apparently what we're thinking is more important than what they're saying. Sometimes we have that. We interrupt people. How does that tell? What does that tell us about our heart? It tells us that we don't have self-control. Or there's a lack of self-control. We have, as Christians, we have self-control. It's through the Spirit. But we have a lack of it. It's not perfected yet. This brings another issue, a tendency amongst us, and that is, when something pops into your head, if we could describe it that way, something pops into your head, you say it. We don't think about, we don't have any discernment about the words that pop into our head, we just say it. Instead of speaking wisely, we speak foolishly, words that have not been discerned. Have we thought about it? Well, is this something wise to say? Is this good to say? Is it edifying to say? Or is it vain? Is it idle words? Will this build up? We haven't asked ourselves, will this build up the brethren? Will this build up my neighbor? Will this be a communication like we see in this verse? Give grace to those who hear. Is it that way? Well, the problem is not just for this world, it's for us. We struggle with this. We struggle with our words. How, and specifically in this first point, how we speak those words, or how we come up with those words, and whether we're self-controlled or we're selfish when we speak. So oftentimes, you know, even out there we'll do this. I've seen it. I've taken part in it. Or, you know, outside our homes, wherever we're at, we'll, without discernment, we'll be speaking words of gossip. We'll be speaking words of frustration and anger. We'll be speaking words of lying, gossip, slander, even lying, exaggerating things. We'll be speaking out of our selfishness. We'll be speaking with little self-control. But we must be self-controlled in our words. That's what God calls us to. And the Lord desires of us to speak wisely, to speak righteously, and to speak properly. Why? Well, because, and so that the Father, as the Father desires in His giving His Son for us, who is our righteousness, and the Holy Spirit indwelling our hearts, empowering us, that He desires that we would glorify Him. That's our desire. That should be our desire as Christians, to do in all things to glorify Him, not just with our actions, but with our thoughts and then also our words. Now think of the gospel. Remember what He's done for us. Everything He's done for us. He's given us everything. Thinking of the eternal perspective and adoption, inheritance that will be towards us. He's given us everything. And so it should be our goal to glorify Him. It should be our goal that with our tongue we speak forth God-honoring words, not vain and idle talk. That we discern and take consideration, because we know that we're sinful. We know that we have that tendency to speak rashly. We speak not tactfully. We have that tendency to speak unrighteous things. That we should, when things pop into our mind, we should take a minute or second or whatever to think about, is this the best thing to say right now? Is this going to benefit those around me? Is this going to benefit myself? Is it going to glorify the Lord? All of us are like this. We're described in Scripture. It says, for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And so that counseling department, they're dealing with the tongue. It can't be tamed. It has to be tamed from the heart. And the Lord has to tame it. And we have to pray that the Lord would tame it. And that's what we have to continually do here. And in our private lives. Instead of taming the tongue, which has a lack of self-control, our hearts must become humble. We have to become humble to the gospel message. We have to become humble to chapters 1 through 3. And even into 4. That this is one body and Christ is the head. We're not the head. We don't get to decide what we speak. Christ does. And Christ, if you think of His Word. Christ's Word is completely wise. It is with self-control, obviously. It has power. Almighty power. Let there be light. There was light. This Word has complete authority. And so what are the words we should be speaking or striving to speak? It should be God's Word. Because His Word has authority. It has power. It has wisdom. It contains everything we need. It contains all grace. Even sometimes we like to distinguish between grace and law, or things like that in Scripture. Things which are harsh to things which are kind of nice. Chapters 1 through 3, that's pretty nice. But then we get to chapter 4, we want to distinguish. We don't need to distinguish. All of it is grace to God's people, and all of it's grace to those who hear. And so we should be striving to proclaim and speak His Word, or at least guided by His Word, right? Now think about your speech. Think about our speech. Are we, what we speak, are we doing so that people will be admire us because of how good we speak, or how well we speak? Are we searching for people to praise us because of our good works, and showing forth those good works through our speaking? Are we self-promoting? Or are we Christ-promoting? Here we learn that we must have self-control and we must be selfless in our speech. We can't be interrupting people. Because we should, if we love God's people, if we love the world, love our neighbors, then we should long to hear what people say. We should want to hear what they have to say so that we can then respond with God's word and encourage them, build them up. And we pray that they would do so to us. We should. And so edifying words are to be self-controlled and selfless. And secondly, and predominantly, edifying words always build up. And here's where we'll, you know, all more so address the heart. So the first point was kind of, you know, this is how we ought to do it, and what it should look like. The second point is the actual, you know, what it is, what speech from the Christian should look like. Here is the words that we actually use. The words that we are to use are to build up. That's pretty much the meaning of the word edify, right? To build up. That's exactly what this verse says. We aren't to speak unwholesome words or rotten, filthy words or even vain words or idle words or frivolous, trivial words. It says, let no rotten, worthless word proceed from your mouth. Let no rotten word proceed out of your mouth. No words that lack self-control. No speech that is selfish. Paul specifically is talking about the fact that we are not to use a filthy, rotten talk. We are to speak only, here's the verse, only such a word as is good for edification. Only. Well, that's a struggle for us, isn't it? Only such a word as is good for edification. And why is this? It's because God, just as He has created our hands to do good, we talked about with stealing, He created our hands to do good. He also created our mouths and our tongues to speak good and not evil. Do you speak words like the world? Or do you speak like Jesus? Do you speak evil, hateful, sinful, angered words? Beloved, when you serve Satan with your tongues, when you work to hurt someone or someone else's name, you speak evil of someone and your slander or your gossip. When you call people names, you know, children especially, you do this sometimes. You call people names, you call your brother or sister a name, or you push someone over and over and over with your words to the point of breaking them. Spouses, sometimes we can do that, or a lot. It's not through those means that our tongues show forth the edifying words. It's showing forth perversions. If we're truly Christians and we're truly supposed to be showing forth the glory of Jesus Christ, then what are we doing with our words? Are we showing forth His glory with our words? God created us. How did God create us to be? He created us to speak perverse words? No, He created us to be perfect and righteous. And yet, obviously, we've rebelled against that. As in Adam, we sinned, and we sinned our own sins now, and yet we continue to rebel against Him. Even as we have been changed and renewed, and we've made that new creation, and we've been made reconciled to the body, we continue, with that sin that still remains, we continue to speak untruths. We continue to not speak according to the Scripture. We continue to not speak according to what is and is shown forth in Scripture as righteousness. And we know that. There are times that we make fun of or joke with people and it truly tears people down. It's often excused. People will say, well, they just don't have a backbone. Well, no. Well, the truth is that there are many jokes. This is one I struggle with, jokes that are worthless, that are rotten, it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of our words that we could be using to edify and build up. Instead, we're joking around or being sarcastic when unneeded. With our tongues, do we bring honor or dishonor to the name of Jesus before our neighbors? How can on the one hand, you know, questioning this, how can on the one hand we praise God and then on the other hand, we turn around and curse our neighbor? How can you worship the Lord who saved you from your sin and then yell at your spouse? How can you give glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the next instant you talk behind someone's back? How can you read God's word and then and be in prayer and then speak lies? How can you do that? Well, it's because that's what we do, isn't it? Are we not all guilty of doing those things? Do you try to excuse those words? When you speak like that, you turn from praising God to, you know, insulting someone, tearing someone. Do you excuse those words? Or is there a true seeing of that sin and turning from that sin? There are people today who claim to be Christians and they use curse words, right? More of my age type of people. They say they're Christians and they use curse words. And some, at least the better ones of that group, the honest ones will say, well, at least as long as I'm using curse words, but I'm not doing it in anger, I'm not doing it to tear someone down, just using the words, then that's okay. Well, no. The Lord warns against that as well. Where would they get that from this verse? You look at this verse. It says, no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. No. And then it says, but only such a word as is good for edification. Only such a word. Are there words you use that you do? Do you constantly speak that are a waste of time? You like telling stories. Sometimes, you know, many times stories can have a good point. Is there a purpose to your story? Is it just to tell a story? Is it just a waste? Is it a waste of time? Are there things you speak often that are vain things? They are petty, frivolous, or trivial? This is perhaps where all of us struggle maybe the most. Our speaking is often trivial. There's no real purpose to it. We're just kind of, you know, shooting the breeze. Trivial words. Idle words is the confession we use. Or perhaps you're already thinking about this. Maybe you have questions about this. Maybe you have no problem at all with these types of words. They're called euphemisms. Older language would call them minced oaths. Do you know what a euphemism is? Children, do you know what a euphemism is? Euphemism is substitutes a mild, indirect, a less offensive word. It substitutes one of those words for a more harsh, offensive word. Many times those words, the euphemisms, has to do with the name of God. You're just saying God. And so you substitute for, you know, people today, you know, texting and things, they say, oh my, and then they use the word of God, right? Instead, they substitute for God, they say, gosh, or goodness. Those are euphemisms. It says the exact same thing, and the intent of your heart is the same, but you just substitute a less offensive word so it's not as offensive. Especially if you're a Christian, you say that. You know, you texting, you say, OMG. For those of you who text. And so what has happened in our culture is that words spoken, not even just spoken now, they're texted and they're emailed now, like if you were speaking them. And you think of that. And perhaps, you know, if in our situation, when we use euphemisms, you use them when you get upset or when you're surprised by something. You can't believe that something happened, and so you use a euphemism, oh my, you know, gosh. And you use that, and you're basically taking God's name in vain. Not basically, you are. Because you're saying the same thing as if you would use the actual name of God. I was watching a TV show once, like a Dateline or something like 2020 or something like that, and they were going through the Ten Commandments, and when they got to the third commandment, they were interviewing some of the teenagers and their use of texting on phones and their texting habits. They're, you know, third commandment is thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. They're talking about euphemisms. It was very interesting. And they were talking, they were looking at every teenager they interviewed, and all of them used OMG without hesitation. And you know, they asked, you know, what does that mean? And they said, you know, oh my. And they said, gosh. Or some would say, God. So as they were using these things, the kids were being asked about the use of the name of God, and you can imagine what they said. You turn on the television, all you'd be counting all day how many times God's name is taken in vain, and also the euphemisms used to take God's name in vain. Happens all the time. On this show, they had these commercials or kind of promos of shows back in the 50s and 60s, like Leave It to Beaver. And they had other shows that I did not have any clue what they were because I'm not that old. I'm too young to know. And, you know, they were showing on those shows how at that time, which is perhaps a more biblical culture, where God taking, saying, oh my, and then saying God, was kind of, you know, you don't do that. And so they're showing all these euphemisms they were using to get around that. And you can imagine what they were. And so here they knew that it wasn't accepted, at least in the church it wasn't accepted then, and now it's kind of just thrown around. You don't even have to use euphemisms anymore. It shows where our world, and at least America, is going. But some of the euphemisms that were used, you'd probably laugh at. And sinfully so. We would all do so, perhaps. We would sinfully laugh at these things. But it's taking the Lord's name in vain. Or it's using our words idly. It's taking a curse word and changing it so it's not as bad. Like, you know, some of the four-letter words, and people would say, darn. Right? Or freaking. People would say that. Those are euphemisms which are saying the exact same thing as curse words. But they kind of, you know, make it a little bit not less offensive. Christians do that all the time. They take those words and they change them. And why do they do that? Because their heart is the same. It has not been changed, but they want to use those type of words, but they just change it so they're not as offensive, and Christians kind of accept it. And so here we are talking about not so much the actual words, but the problem here is the heart. The problem here is not the word. You know, I could be legalistic and I could say, you can't use this word and this word and this word and this word. But the problem here is the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to live like the world and act like the world and speak words like the world, except if you want to make them less offensive, then you're in sin. God calls us to speak. Just as we're called to live a completely different life, just as we're called to live a completely, how our focus of life is completely different from the world, how we are to walk is different, how we are to stand is different, how we are to uphold ourselves, and how we think about the environment, how we think about our bodies, how we think about our spiritual, it's all different than the world. We're aliens and strangers in a foreign land. Here, it's the same thing with the tongue. We are to speak completely different in the world. Some of you might say, well, there's no harm in using euphemisms or words, but here he says, let no unwholesome words, let no non-edifying words come out of your mouths. Do not tolerate them. The words that poison your neighbor's mind, even poison your own soul. Calvin says about such talk, it is just as if speech was being used to poison men's souls. These unwholesome words being used. And so perhaps you think euphemisms are all right, the less offensive words are just fine, at least they're not the more offensive words. But our goal should be complete righteousness. That's our goal. We should be continually pursuing that, not half righteousness, but complete following of Jesus Christ, to be holy as He is holy. And so you don't have to speak those words. Oftentimes you think, I think that people who say those, and sometimes, you know, I say it because I'm still in my sinful nature. But when we say those things, that they're somehow needed. But if you think about it, you look back on what you said, if you used a euphemism, you used any of those types of vain words, idle words, you know, ask yourself, are they truly needed? And the answer will be, you know, you'll have to come up with your own answer, but often it's no. Those euphemisms are not needed. You don't have to say OMG. You don't have to say darn. You can control yourself. By your heart having been changed, you can control yourself, and you can, you know, you stub your toe and you can stop and say, you know, in some sense, ow. Ouch. But you can also say, you can give praises to God for it because you know it's for your good. And you know He's doing this to discipline you and stabilize you and sustain you. What's the intent of your heart? That's the question this evening. Not only when you use your words, but everything you do. What's the intent of your heart? Here it says that we aren't to use unwholesome words. No rotten speech proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. If you're thinking of some of the perhaps the euphemisms you say, the words you use, is it just is it to build up the words you use? Is it to build up people? That's the key. Maybe that's the key question that we can use to discern what our heart, the state of our heart, is. Is it being used to build someone up? Or is it being used as a reaction? Is the emotion that you're speaking only in response to something that has happened? Or is it actually edifying? Always our words must be used for the purpose of building up others. It says that here. Only such a word. There's no question about, you know, the only. It's not, well, usually some of the words need to be edifying, building up. This is only such a word as is good for edification. And then it says that we know we are to know them, these words that we use. And when we need to know then also the people we speak to. Well, when I preach, I have to know you. When we evangelize, when we talked about this, we have to know who we're evangelizing, at least as best we can. We should try to understand who they are so that we can speak exactly what they need to hear. That's why it says, according to the need of the moment. They might be going through something. As a Christian, you know, Christians go through things all the time. We go through things all the time. We need to understand what they're going through. And so first we need to hear. We need to be quick to hear and slow to speak so that we might understand what they're going through, that we might bring the word to them. We might speak edifying words to them so that it will be grace to them. But God uses us. That's a great thing. God uses us when we speak to communicate and bring grace to someone's life. So he says, but only such a word as is good for edification. So we don't try to speak over someone's head. Nor do we try to speak below them to, you know, to make fun of them. Sometimes we do that. But we speak to who they are and what they're going through as best we can at that moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. That's our goal. When we speak, to people, our prayer should be that everything we speak would be a communication of the grace of God. It doesn't have to be, you know, the exact word of God, but it needs to communicate the grace of how we speak. You know, you're at work and you're telling someone what has to be done or what didn't happen or something broke down. When you communicate that, it should be done in a way which communicates the grace of God. You do it in a loving manner, not in anger because perhaps they did something wrong and you're, you know, yelling at them because they got it wrong. Perhaps you're a boss or something like that, or over someone. But rather, you communicate the grace of God and love. You might rebuke them. That's part of the grace of God. But you also remember that when you speak, it should be a building up. So you ask the question, does this build up my neighbor? Does this show forth Christ? Is my life and my good work show forth His glory, that people would give glory to the Father in heaven? And consider the time when you speak it. It says here, so that it will give according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Sometimes the word of God needs to be spoken to someone. And yet, it's not the right time. Right? There's people, you know, that you can meet that have a list of problems. And we could go through every single problem in that one, you know, 10 minutes or something and go through, well, the Word of God says this, and the Word of God says this, and the Word of God, you don't want to do that. No, go to the main problem, what the main issue is, and speak to that issue. And over time, speak to them. And sometimes it's not tactful to speak a certain word when it's more tactful to speak another word. And so we need to be discerning about that according to the need of the moment. When somebody, you know, has died and you go and you visit their family. You know, as a pastor, I've learned this. You don't go and, you know, you don't have to necessarily say anything. The need of the moment is just to be with them. They need somebody to be with them. And so the question is, do I have to say what I was going to say? The thought that popped in my mind while they were talking, is this the best moment to say it? No. Is it the best moment to say it when you are going to interrupt someone? No. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the ninth commandment in verse 25 to speak the truth. Laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one to his neighbor. It says, we learned that. That means we don't gossip, we don't slander. But what does that verse 25 have to do with verse 29? A lot. There's a lot that's in common there. Verse 29, the words we speak are to be truth, and that when we speak the truth, it is to build up. It's not to just tear down and tear down and tear down. It's to build up. Please tell me, as we think of gossip, how does gossip build someone up? How does gossip and hearing that gossip build you up? It doesn't. It can't. It actually tears you down when you hear it and when you say it. It hinders you. It tempts you to gossip more. It tempts you to spread rumors which tear others down in the church. If we're the church, then the head of the church is Jesus, right? We've learned that. He says not to speak falsehood. He commands us to speak edifying words, to build up others, to give grace to those who hear. Matthew Henry says it's the great duty of Christians to take care that they offend not with their lips, and that they improve discourse and converse as much as may be for the good of others. Right, think of what he says. He says not to offend. But sometimes when we speak, we have to offend. Right? If you speak to a non-Christian, the gospel, you speak the word of someone, you might offend them. When I preach, I might offend you. But it's really not me offending you. It's God offending you, hopefully. If it's not my words, it's His words. Should we really be about the infecting of faithful followers of Christ by our worthless, vain, and petty speech? No. He wants us to build others up. He wants that to be a part of us so that He would be given glory, that we, in our doing this, would actually please Him and give glory to His name. And that should be our goal. Man's chief end is to glorify God. So the heart issue is the issue of loving God and loving our neighbor. Do we truly love God and truly love our neighbor? Are our words going to draw our neighbors towards Christ, or are they going to draw or push them away from Christ? Are they going to draw your family to Christ, or are they going to draw them or push them away from Christ? Same thing with your coworkers or wherever you're at. The goal here is also, you know, let us not be bad company that corrupts good morals. We're talking about the church here, right? Let us not be those people in the church who are corrupting good morals and corrupting our children, corrupting, you know, what I'm learning this with Oliver. When I speak, he repeats it. That's not a good thing. I'm learning. Sometimes. And so it's a struggle. And yet we have promises to us, don't we? Promises that we are new creatures in Christ. So we have been made new. We've been made to be like Christ. We're on that path that leading to perfect righteousness, perfect holiness. And Christ has given us that perfect and all-powerful Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so He's equipped us to do exactly what we are called to here. And so let us follow. And let's pray that these things would be so. And let us in our words continually communicate the gospel to ourselves and to others and a good word. And remember, as it says here, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Remember that that might include rebuke. That might be teaching and training in righteousness and correcting people. And often it will be that, especially if you have children, especially if you're, you know, evangelizing to someone. And yet it's still God's grace to them. And we praise God for that. Every instance we speak, by the grace and mercy of God, we should be praying for this, that the Holy Spirit would work through us, that we would speak wisely, that we would speak words of grace and speak words that always build up, that the Lord would be glorified and others and us ourselves would be edified. Now, that's our calling. And as if we think in the context of Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, you've already been enabled to do it. You are already righteous. Where you fail in this regard, you're still righteous. Don't forget that. And press on to sanctification. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We know it is hard. It is, it's like a knife that stabs us. We all struggle with this verse, but we pray that You would make it so that we continually grow in this regard, that we, in our words, would not be speaking those worthless words. We would be, that when we speak them, we would be on edge and it would push us to sorrow over our sin, and You would turn us to repentance, and You would continually work in us that longing and desire to speak words which build people up, that it would communicate grace to them, that they would see Jesus in our words, just as we, in a moment, come to the Lord's Supper, that we would see Jesus in that sacrament. We pray that all of our vain talk, our petty talk, our frivolous and trivial talk would be cast out. It's not needed. But what is needed is Your word. The word to be upon our hearts often and always. And the words to our family, Your word to be to our families and our co-workers and those around us, our neighbors. If we truly love the Lord and we truly love our neighbor, we would long with all of our hearts to speak Your word. And so we pray for wisdom now and self-control, fruit of the Spirit, and a love and a joy for the brethren. Work in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.